Okay, here's today's scripture. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinners back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. This is the word of God for the people of God.
All right. Well, this is the third portion of our series that we're talking about on how to lead folks to Christ. You all know how to lead folks to Christ. It's just part of what we do, and this has been laid on my heart to preach this series. So what will help us as we share Christ with other folks, especially those that maybe don't know him or possibly those who have fallen away? Now, the first thing we talked about a few weeks ago was salvation, and last week we talked about sharing the gospel. We talked about the harvest being ripe, and I know this is not harvest season for our farmers, but the harvest, God's harvest is always available and always in demand as far as that goes. We talked about being too timid is just as bad as being too pushy, and when we visit with folks. So today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Everybody likes forgiveness, right? Especially when it's us being forgiven, right? It seems like it helps. But we're going to talk about forgiveness. But we're going to talk about forgiveness of sin. And only God can do that through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is this thing on? Hello? Amen?
Amen.
For those of you who might be here first time, this is an interactive class, so we do it that way. We also are going to talk about forgiveness of ourselves. Forgiveness of others is something we need help with, as well as from ourselves from the Holy Spirit. As Christians, it's our duty to be able to lead folks through the process of understanding how available and actually how simple forgiveness is. We complicate it. There was a young Jewish man one time, and he asked an evangelist named Alfred Ackley, why should I worship a dead Jew? And Ackley said, well, he's not dead. In fact, he's alive here and now. We know that. Amen? Jesus Christ is more alive today than ever before, and I can prove it by my own experience, and so can you. We know by the testimony of countless of thousands of other peoples that he lives. We have scriptural evidence to prove that he lives. We have the evidence in our own heart that he lives. So Ackley was taken back a little bit, and he started thinking about it, and he started pondering about it, started praying about it, and he sat down and wrote a song that is in our hymnals today. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I'll get it here in a minute. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. You all know this, right? Okay. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Friends, it is that simple. And those words that Ackley wrote were so powerful to this young Jewish man that he actually came to Christ and became a Christian. Now, if we want to lead folks to Christ, we must first truly, and I say truly, be changed by Jesus Christ and his gospel. We have to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I told Jacob I'm not going to mess with that candle, and there I get too close to it. I'm sorry. All right. But we have to be transformed. Power of the Holy Spirit. Just as it was on the day of Pentecost. And we've talked about and read about, you've studied about the day of Pentecost. You know about the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people were saved and joined the church. What if that happened here in one day? We'd have to build on, wouldn't we? We'd have to get more cookies, is right. Not a problem. 3,000 people welcomed Christ into their hearts and made him their Lord and Savior. We must share God's love by telling stories of how our relationship with Christ has changed us. Even after you've shared the need for salvation and have shared the gospel message, it's important to share your story. And when you share your story with someone, 99% of the time, you're going to hear different answers to that. You're going to have different, they're going to say a lot of times, well, oh, I don't know. Well, you know, 99% of the time, I know I should probably go to church on Sunday, but you know, Sunday's the only day I have off. Now, I'm sure you've been faced with that. And as a pastor, I can get away with this. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but as a pastor, I can get away. So I say, so let me get this straight. God gives you 6 days to work, and you only have, and you can't give him an hour. And I've not offended anyone yet. They just kind of cowl and say, well, I guess you're right. And I said, well, yeah, I'm right. Ask my wife. I'm right. She smiles here in front of you. Okay. The problem is that their heart isn't where it should be. And they need Christ. They need Jesus to make them alive again. That's what Jesus does when he comes into our lives. He makes us alive again. He brings us into a new life. And if we don't let our past die, then it won't let us live the new life. We have to step out of our past in order to step into the future. And like we talked about before, it's stepping out of our comfort zone, getting into a new one. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18 says, what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone, a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Wow, that's just pretty simple, isn't it? Because of what God has done in us, and he has forgiven us, it is a privilege that we have been given to encourage others to do the same. So, in all fairness, we have to let go of the old life. We have to let go of the old self. And if you don't, you'll never be able to live into that future. Now, let's say you're taking a group picture, okay? Let's see. You're going to take a picture here. Let's see. Okay. First, you got to turn it on and get it numbered. Okay. And then go to this one and this one. Smile. Now, when you do that, or when you take a selfie,
turn around.
Oh, there it is. Wait a minute, let's do this. Let's go here. Let's see if I can get us all in here. Oh, well, I got Jacob in here. Okay, there we go. Okay. Now, when we do that, what's the first thing you notice? What's the first thing you look at?
Yourself.
That's right. You look at yourself, right? You look at yourself and say, well, now, wait a minute. That's not a very good picture. You know, my hair's messed up. My eyes are closed. And this coat, this shirt makes me look fluffy. So let's take another picture. Right? We do that. We always see the worst in ourselves. That's really what I'm getting at. We see the worst in ourselves, especially when it comes to forgiveness. Friends, we don't have to beg God to forgive us. He's eager to. He's ready to. He's able and willing to forgive us. And He does. But here's the thing. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. I had a friend of mine years and years ago, and I never gave that a thought, really. He said, because we were talking about where I had been, what I'd done when I came into the ministry and felt God calling. And I said, I don't think I'm called for that. I don't think I'm going to be good enough for that. He said, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. You've been around church all your life. Yeah, okay. I've been around church all my life. You know who God is. Yeah, I know who God is. Do you think He's forgiven you? Sure. Then forgive yourself. We don't think about that. We don't think about that. Over in Romans, it says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God sent Jesus to die for us because we were good enough. Not because of that, but because He loved us. Not because we're good enough, because He loved us. So how do you help someone accept and believe that God has forgiven them? Well, sometimes it's just a conversation like we talked about, as I told you about my friend. A lot of people have a problem when it comes to believing that God can or will forgive their sins. But you see, my understanding of the scriptures in God, through Christ, all things are possible. Amen? I'm sure we all have something in our past that there's not a day go by that we think about it at some point. Either something has happened to us or we've done something to someone else. You know, you'll hear a song on the radio or maybe have that flashback all of a sudden. And you can be having the best day of your life and something will pop into your mind and remind us of our past. Maybe it's an event that will live with us, yet something we cannot forget. Through Christ, God created forgiveness because of the things we can't forget. We are forgiven. In Christ, I am forgiven. Help me out here. In Christ, I am forgiven. Aren't you glad that? Doesn't it make you happy to know that God doesn't just forgive part of our sins? Isn't it good that He forgives all of our sins?
Well, yes, Pastor, I am.
Remember the interactive part? He replaces our whole life. He makes us a brand new person. And we don't have to live with guilt and shame and pain. In Christ, we are completely forgiven. Paul said in Romans, he said, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. As a Christian, my identity is not found in my debts or trespasses. It's found in the death of Jesus on the cross. And my identity as a Christian at the empty tomb of the resurrection, which is bigger than all my debts, all my trespasses, all bigger than all of us. So in Christ, I am forgiven. Forgiveness is not something we achieve, friends. It is something we receive. Not achieve, receive. There's no amount of drugs or alcohol highs that can take away the problems of the world. Although many folks try that, it just can't do it. We can't be good enough or do enough good deeds, or give enough financially to make us feel good that will take away the hurts and pains and brokenness of everyday life. When we talk about the past, we often think about something that happened maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But the past can also mean last night or last week. It may be something that just happened. It may be something that we're not even completely through yet, and still going on. There's probably an event or a season in your life that you wish didn't happen. Been there, done that. It's either something you did or something that was done to you. Either way, the whole thing is to get you through the forgiveness of God that comes by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I understand it this way. If God can do it for me, dear friends, if he can forgive my sins, he will do it for you. Back to the text that Ken read earlier. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. And then again he prayed for rain. And what happened? It rained and produced crops. What happens when it doesn't rain for 3.5 years? We hope and pray that never happens. But when it does, what is it? Famine, starvation, and even greed. Elijah must have seen some pretty bad things. It was a result of God's judgment on King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And I'm sure there were a lot of innocent folks who got caught up in that. And I'm sure that it was hard for them to let go of it. So we have to ask ourselves, if there's something in my life, in my past, that I need to let go of, and if it is, maybe it's because I never faced it. Possible. Now, it is not that we can't be forgiven. It is that we cannot be forgiven until we confess and let go of it and turn it over to God. Once we face the past, we are saved, and our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Each week you've heard me say at the closing, bring whatever you have to the foot of the cross, whatever it is. But when you bring it here, leave it there. Leave it here. Don't take it with you. We all need forgiveness. We all have people in our lives that we need to forgive. Sometimes we don't feel forgiven, do we? But the fact is that God's word is bigger than the feelings in our lives. Forgiveness is not achieved, it is received. And forgiveness is found in God's word. And the one that we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That is such a powerful, powerful scripture. When we believe, truly believe, we truly believe those words, then we receive forgiveness. It is that simple. The hard part's already been done. It was done on the cross for you and for me. Jesus made it easy for us in that God created forgiveness for the things that we can't seem to forget. We've been carrying our mistakes. We've been carrying our sins and our faults because Jesus said over and over again, he said, I love you, I love you, I love you. And now it's time for us to love ourselves. As a Christian believer, as we began this series, we talked about we had to have the need for salvation. We need to share the gospel message. And now we learn that we have to share and proclaim forgiveness and understand forgiveness. So I want to leave you with some of Paul's words that he wrote in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Pretty simple, isn't it? So this week, I pray that God will bring someone into your life that you're able to share his word with. And I pray that when that happens, you receive the strength that he gives you Because if we trust in Him, everything will be taken care of. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the guidance and the direction to talk to someone, to share Christ. So I hope and pray that we do that this week. So God bless you. God bless you. Now,